This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
We're back with hour number two. We're going to talk of Radio Law Talk. We've got some neat things we're going to talk about hour number two and hour number three. First of all, at the very end of our broadcast in hour number three, we're going to talk about the six things that rocked the legal industry in 2018, according to Law 360. What is it you think rocked the legal industry in 2018? Think about it. There are six things, according to Law 360 website, which is kind of a news website, a legal news website, that six things. And I could think of a few things, and Todd and Denise and I and Cal might come up with a few, but we're going to talk about the nude selfies obtained in the Mueller inquiry, whether or not that should be able to be brought forth, and see who — they don't know who the nude selfies were of.
Which may or may not be part of the six things that rocked the industry.
Or it could be maybe Radio Law Talk host. Who knows?
Yes, it could be.
And we're going to talk about a lot of things. The crash of Lion Air, the first lawsuits rolling in. But more importantly, we were talking about Kevin Spacey. We didn't quite finish up on what the lawsuit against Kevin Spacey, what's going on, what the allegations are. Let's briefly talk about that again, Denise. Follow up. What was those of you who don't know?
He's facing a charge of indecent assault and battery on a person 14 years or older. And if he's convicted, he can serve up to 5 years in jail.
And by the way, in jail and register as a sex offender.
Well, by the way, the person was 18. The person underage. Just let's make sure.
Well, they may not be underage, but the element is still met. You can still be guilty of sexual assault and battery on a person 14 or older, and that covers somebody who's 18,
right?
And
okay,
because they're over the age of 14.
I just want to make sure that we're clear on that.
Yeah.
Obviously, as the host, I'm always making sure we're laying out both sides.
So what are the elements for this crime?
Okay, so there's a couple of very obvious elements. I mean, the first one is the alleged victim has to be over the age of 14. That could be 14 or older. And the second one is that the defendant, this would be Mr. Spacey, that he intended to do the touching. This eliminates any accidental touching where you brush up against somebody because you get pushed into them or whatever. The third
or
is,
if they want to come out like, hey, how a greeting. You know, if they come up to you to hug you,
if they come up to you and in touch, then, you know, they're hugging you. The next thing is...
Well, stop right there, Todd. What do you do now about greeting people?
Well,
Denise, do you hug people ever? Do you ever like somebody, if they come greet you, friends?
No, Fred.
There's a big difference
let's wait to talk about that till we get to the crucial element.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because really going to touch it. So that the defendant committed a touching, that the touching was harmful and offensive. Now, this is going to be viewed solely from the perspective of the alleged victim.
Right.
You know, was I offended when I was touched? Because, look, some people can claim they were offended. If you go up and give somebody a hug, maybe they weren't offended by it. So it's that element is solely up to the person that was touched. Now, here is the kicker element that's going to bring in what you talked about.
Gotcha.
Okay, the touching was indecent.
Oh.
And it says, a touching is indecent when it is contrary to societal norms and is offensive to current moral values that would be considered, quote, immodest, immoral, and improper, and it's measured from the common understanding and practice. So, in the case of a hug, that happens all the time.
I mean, like, you walk in, you're at a sports event, like, hey, how you doing? Just a quick, not a squeeze, hold you type, but like a,
I tell you what, as long as you're talking about sports events. So, for example, you get two athletes out there, and one person is sitting there, and after a good play, they swat them on the butt.
Yep.
That is common practice and stuff like that. However, you take two people that are in a bar, You know, a server comes over and drops off the food, and you get the food, and when she's walking away, you swat her in the backside. Well, that would be against the societal norms.
Right.
So it's not the common practice. Now, the reason this is important, and Denise and I were talking about this at the break, if there are different laws. If, for example, it's one type of law, in California it would be 288 harmful touching. Let's say I am, and this is purely a hypothetical example,
Thank you. Hypothetical.
Let's say that
make that very clear.
Yes.
Very clear.
I am a pervert, and I get my jollies by touching people on their shoulder. Okay. If I come over to somebody and touch them on their shoulder, which objectively isn't that big of a deal, I could be guilty of a crime touching with sexual intent. That is not what Kevin Spacey is charged with.
That's right.
Kevin Spacey is charged with a crime where the touching itself isn't reliant on what he intended. The crime requires the average person to look at the manner in which the touching occurred, and they have to say, oh, my gosh, that is morally offensive.
So he alleges, the young man alleges he touched him in the crotch.
Yes.
Grabbed his crotch.
Right.
Now, Kevin Spacey's lawyer says, no, a hand touched this. There's a picture of a hand that touches the guy's shirt.
Yes.
Only.
And if the only thing that is presented to the jury, credible evidence, is a hand touching the shirt, personally, I don't see how that could be objectively reprehensible, immodest, immoral, improper.
And we get back to the Cal thing. When does this end?
So if the evidence shows that it's just a hand on the shirt, they got a problem. If the video comes and shows that it was reaching down and touching the crotch, then Kevin Spacey has a problem.
Or a hand inside the shirt, which is one of the allegations, that it was a hand slipped inside the shirt in a sexual way.
Yeah, that could actually be indecent as well. But one of the things that surprises me here is that this is an 18-year-old, and there doesn't appear to be any dispute that he was drinking with Kevin Spacey.
Right.
And Kevin Spacey may have even provided him the alcohol. And so when you have an 18-year-old, he's kind of impaired. Of course he's going to be a little impaired, but he's got alcohol on him. And his reaction time is going to be less, all of that. But this kid still had enough sense to Snapchat and take this picture and then publish it to third persons. And as everybody knows, Snapchat's supposed to go away, but nothing truly goes away when it's on the Internet. Just doesn't.
Here's the other thing. He is a busboy there at that facility that Kevin Spacey was at, that restaurant or bar, and told Kevin Spacey he was 23.
Yes.
When he was actually 18.
But what does that do? Oh, because of the 21
right.
Yes.
Drinking rule.
Well, it goes to credibility. And I'm not, again, we're laying out both sides here. So the kid says, he didn't tell the truth about his age, apparently. Does that mean he's telling the truth about the other stuff? I don't know.
But
that's something they could bring up.
And another thing, and this is what I learned this when I prosecuted. I used to prosecute these crimes. And I used to prosecute indecent behavior between homosexual men that would occur in public, okay, in a public place. And, you know, there was the allegation that the young man went to the bathroom, right? And he says, I went to the bathroom to get away from him.
Right.
Well, Kevin Spacey, I guarantee you their attorneys are going to come back and say, well, hold on a second, that's common practice. To if there is an engagement between two men to, you know, they're into each other, to go to the bathroom to engage in the activity. That was what we used to have sting operations where they would do sting operations for that kind of activity. So the fact that he went to the bathroom isn't necessarily I went there to get away from it. It's going to be argued by Spacey's lawyers as I went there to further engage in it.
Right.
And so, look, this is not a cut and dried case. I think that there are issues all the way around. And, you know, depending on how that video looks, I think Kevin Spacey and the fact that the kid Snapchatted, I think he's got a great defense.
No, his lawyers are going to come out with both guns.
They are.
But that's not the end of his woes. Let me tell you, he's got other charges in United Kingdom and in Los Angeles. And we're not talking minor. We're talking major charges.
All right, we're going to be back with a talk about MacGyver spinoff, Sparks of Profit suit. By the way, thanks, Variety. You did a great job on that, Kevin Spacey.
advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Hi, I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials, so just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 800-616-4LAW or see us at PennyAndAssociates.com. See, that wasn't so bad.
The cost of getting rid of garbage is high, and recycling products is lucrative. If you're a business or know of a business that needs an individual compactor or baler, call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. If you already have an industrial compactor, baler, or shredder and need service, don't forget to call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. Northwest Compacting, your full-service industrial compacting and baling company. Read more about them at North.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale priced for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
So what was the year MacGyver came out? That was probably in the 90s. Wasn't it the 1990s?
No, it was back before that.
84.
1984, yeah.
Okay, MacGyver, now he's an undercover cop, is he, or what is he?
Richard Dean Anderson. And he was some kind of an agent. I don't never did figure out exactly what he did, but he was some kind of undercover operative that always got into trouble and always solved his problem in nonviolent means using household chemicals and products.
I mean, he could make a He could make a bomb out of
a shoelace,
out of a shoelace, some 3-in-1 oil, and some gauze pads.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, and he was just very resourceful.
But it was a very successful.
It was.
I never watched it. I wasn't into the MacGyver thing, but I know a lot of people watched it. So what happens in these movies is people who write the movies or start the movies and they take it to like Paramount or CBS or, you know, I don't know, whoever, they have these contracts. And in these contracts, they have these rights usually to receive monies. And usually there's sometimes it's a net, it's a gross. And I always say, oh, make sure it's off the gross, not the net, because they can play with the numbers to determine what the net was. But off gross, and these individuals receive royalties. And that's where a lot of these actors, actresses, writers, producers make money forever because the royalties keep going on. Now, what happens in this case is there's this, quote, spinoff of MacGyver coming out now, apparently, which I don't follow. It's a 2016 series premiere of MacGyver.
Well, it's more of a reboot.
It's a reboot
of the, so the initial MacGyver
right.
consisted of certain actors.
Right.
And so now they've brought that whole concept forward and they right. have different actors that are doing it.
I
so
it.
It's kind of like rebooting. It's like the Hawaii 5-0.
Right.
It's so, new and
okay.
all of that.
So
under this
yeah.
contract, the question, the legal question is the reboot of MacGyver, is it covered under the spin-off provision of the 1984 agreement? And it's really interesting because they have to kind of look back in 1984 and they have to think about how that term spin-off was used and what it covered. And at the time, the term spin-off, unless further defined, was broadly understood in the industry to mean a television series that is based on, comes out of, or otherwise derives from an earlier television series, including what are referred to today as, among other things, reboots, revivals, remakes, sequels, and spinoffs. So that's the argument of the plaintiffs in this case.
So this is out of the Hollywood Reporter. They're talking all about this, the Hollywood Reporter. I just want to note that because we're quoting them. We want to make sure we give them a little kudos. So go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, and I was just going to make clear that what Denise was just reading was actually a portion of the complaint.
Yeah.
So
right.
that's the allegation of the plaintiff. What they are going to say is this case is coming down to this is what a spinoff means based upon our interpretation. And the defense is obviously going to say, well, you're relying on a contract provision that is, what, 84, 94, 2014, 34 years old. And terms may have differed. Maybe we aren't necessarily in agreement that that's what it meant at the time. So, shocker, experts are going to have to come in
yep.
and talk about what the terms meant at the time. And you know that the plaintiffs are going to come in and they're all going to say, yes, it meant exactly what we said it meant. And the defense is going to come in and say, no, that's not what it meant back then. In fact, there was no commonly accepted term for spinoff. And the question that I have with all of this is sometimes we talk about ripeness. And I know that that's really an appeals process type concept, but I would wait to see and want to see what the first show is really about and to see if it's indeed true that they are rebooting it with the same characters and different actors. I want to see what this show is. Is it just using the name with very loosely based characters? Is it the son of MacGyver who comes back? Is Richard Dean Anderson coming back to play a role? I would want to see what the meat of the story is before I make a decision or I ask a jury to make a decision that this is indeed a spinoff. I mean, at this point, they try to keep these things pretty close to the vest before they release a film or before they release a series. And so this is a lot of speculation on the plaintiff's part that this new show coming out is going to be
successful.
Exactly what they had and be successful and is truly a spinoff in the commonly accepted sense. I think we've got to wait to see what the show is.
You know who one of the plaintiffs is?
Henry Winkler.
Yes, Henry Winkler. Yeah, because Henry had owns interest in the...
Well, he was a producer of the show, one of the producers of the show.
Yeah, and actually they loaned, he was part of the loan out company. So what happened was they produced the show, and then it's kind of like a licensing, but a little different concept. They loaned out that concept and that script, if you will, and that... production to Paramount, and now CBS is the successor in interest to Paramount.
Right.
So we've got big players here.
Yeah. So they're suing CBS because they took over basically the contract. And here's what's interesting: it's not just Henry Winkler, but it's John Rich. If those of you who don't know who John Rich is, John Rich is a film and television director. This is the shows he directed. Some of the ones he directed. Listen to this: Colonel Humphrey Flack, I Married Joan, Gunsmoke, Bonanza, Hogan's Heroes, Where's Raymond, Mr. Ed, The Dick Van Dyke Show, All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Maude, Good Times, Barney Miller, Newhart, Benson, The Brady Bunch, Gilligan's Island, etc., etc., etc.
Oh, my gosh.
This guy, John Rich, is also a plaintiff in this. That guy has some rights to a lot of very well-known and successful shows.
Let me just say this on the part of the producers of the new MacGyver, the defendants in this. If they undertook this production and invested all this money to have stuff, episodes already in the can, if they did that and not once thought, hey, we might have legal jeopardy here because we're talking about a show that used to be a hit, and look at the old contract to see if there's anything. If they did that without looking at any of this, I would not want to be that attorney.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that they have looked at it. They've probably got a what they believe to be a solid defense, and we'll see what the court says.
We're going to see what the court's going to say and what the jury's going to say. We're going to come back and talk about Michael Williams. He's the one that ran for governor in Georgia that actually rode the bus for deportation. We'll be right back to talk about him and Straight Outta Compton, the lawsuit.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
I am Cameron Levitt, Chief Operating Officer of Concussion Medical Clinic. California's first concussion medical clinic is now open. As concussions increase each year, there has never been a greater need for concussion specialists. Our physicians at Concussion Medical Clinic are board certified in pediatric neurology and sports medicine and have partnered with universities, hospitals, and rehab clinics to expedite the recovery process. Simply put, we are elevating the standard of care. When you need an expert concussion opinion or concussion care, visit Concussion Medical Clinic to schedule your appointment.
The cost of getting rid of garbage is high, and recycling products is lucrative. If you're a business or know of a business that needs an individual compactor or baler, call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. If you already have an industrial compactor, baler, or shredder and need service, don't forget to call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. Northwest Compacting, your full-service industrial compacting and baling company. Read more about them at NorthwestCompacting.com.
Many women have so many clothes in the closet, but then we go to get dressed and find we have nothing to wear. We've all been there. We all want to be comfortable and fashionable at the same time, and it's difficult to find clothing that makes that task effortless. But at Letty & Company, you can find trendy, comfortable clothing that is affordable. Things you want to wear every day. Shop with a purpose, online, with free shipping. Just go to LETTYandCompany.com. LettyandCompany.com.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Fred.
For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
Incoming House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer says Republican congressional candidate Mark Harris will not be sworn in on January 3rd when the new Congress is seated. Hoyer says the fact Harris's victory has not been certified due to legitimate claims of election tampering is the reason why.
This is in a court case that's continuing to go on to determine what happened and what effect it had on the election. My own view is we probably ought to redo the general election.
The House is the judge of the elections of its members and the final arbiter of its contests. Authority authorities in Missouri are questioning a suspect after a deadly shooting in a home in St. Charles City early today that left four dead. Cops got into a gunfight with the suspect before he ran off. Lieutenant Tom Wilkerson is a spokesman for the St. Charles Police Department.
The suspect fled on foot from his vehicle from the scene while officers were returning fire.
The suspect was caught over 7 hours later at a convenience store. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Radio Law Talk.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
So the movie called Straight Out of Compton, and Compton, for those of you who don't know, is a place down in Southern California, is pretty heavily gang. It's a gang. It's a lot of gangs in Compton area. But Straight Out of Compton box office grossed approximately $161.2 million in the United States and Canada, and $40.4 million in other territories for a total of $201.6 million profit. I mean, gross. Profit is estimated to be around $91.1 million. That is a pretty darn good movie that made some money.
That is a good payday for folks.
That's exactly right. So anyway, what happens? So there's one individual is trying to claim that he should have been paid royalties out of this.
That's true. And just to let you know who NWA is, they're the hip-hop group. You may have been familiar with headphones called Beats by Dre.
Right.
You ever heard of those? And now they're the, I believe Apple bought them, and then, you know, that's what you get with all of that. And it's a very successful line of headphones. Dre is Dr. Dre, and he is one of the original four members of NWA, as is the well-known TV actor Ice Cube. The four members are MC Red, Ice Cube, Dr. Dre, and DJ Yella. And for the mainstream folks, you probably be most familiar with Ice Cube and Dr. Dre, and it's their story about how they rose to prominence in the hip-hop world, and then they obviously parlayed their riches into other investment opportunities, productions, and acting. But what happened was, there was their former manager, a guy named Jerry Heller. He alleged, and he has since died, but prior to his demise, prior to dying, he had started a lawsuit basically claiming that he was entitled to royalties because he was, as he put it, a co-author a co-author of the screenplays, or of the original screenplay for Straight Outta Compton. And
yeah, his other co-authors were Savage, Winkus, and Zenon.
That's right.
So that's what he's claiming.
And then before his death, he was arguing this, and a lot of the allegations in his lawsuit were tossed by a federal judge on various grounds, but some of them survived, and Heller's estate maintained the lawsuit. And just recently, the judge, overseeing the remaining counts, decided and dismissed the remaining counts, finding, using Heller's own words against him, finding that he was not a co-author of the screenplay. And it's interesting what the judge relied on, because prior to his death, Heller made a video, and in the video statement he said, quote, "In or around May 21st, 2001, I entered into an oral contract for the services of Savage, Wankus, and Zenon," the three co-defendants,
to co-authors.
Co-authors, to collaborate with me. Well, I don't want to say co-author right now because of the judge's ruling, but I entered into an oral contract with those three to collaborate with me to write an original screenplay relating to the story of Ruthless and NWA. At all times under my agreement with the defendants, Savage, Wankus, Zenon, the screenplays were my property. I never transferred my rights to these defendants. And the judge, Fitzgerald, ruled that because he said that it was his total property, that he never intended to be a co-author at all, that he intended to be the sole author, and because this suit was brought as an alleged co-author, his own words worked against him, and he dismissed the suit.
Yeah, this went through three different amendments of the complaint, and the last two surviving cause of actions was one for defamation, which is the action of damaging the good reputation of someone through, you can have slander or libel, and copyright infringement, which is the part that you've been talking about. Jerry Heller also said that he had been defamed by Straight Out of Compton because they put him in a bad light in this film. And those last two causes of action were actually dismissed, and now the whole suit is over.
You know, it's interesting. He passed away soon after this. He passed away. Actually, it was an auto accident, but they claimed he had a heart attack, which caused the auto accident. But just soon after the lawsuit.
I think it's interesting, just the unique things that can occur with lawsuits. So here you've got a guy who's claiming that he was a co-author of a screenplay, but at the same time is suing the makers of the movie based upon the same screenplay for defamation because the screenplay portrayed him in a bad light. For which my question would be, well, did you write it or not? Because if you wrote it, or if you believe you co-wrote it, you're suing yourself if it puts you in a bad light.
Right.
So regardless, I thought it was an interesting twist there.
And that's where the judge
uses his own words, saying, "You've never claimed to be a co-author. Your own statement claims that this was your sole work, and this was brought under co-author rights. It couldn't be a co-author rights because you're claiming it was your sole work." Case dismissed. It remains to be seen if the lawsuit, I don't know if it was dismissed with or without prejudice, but if it was dismissed without prejudice, meaning they could file again, it would be interesting to see if the estate for Heller refiled claiming sole authorship rights.
The reason the estate has it, the estate takes the rights after a person passes away.
Yes.
I don't think they'd have the ability to, because the statute of limitations would have run on the oral contract that he'd be trying to enforce against the co-author defendants, right?
Could be.
And by the way, I wanted to play some music from Straight Outta Compton in the background, but lyrically speaking,
no, let's not put it on.
Yeah, no, no.
Hey, you know what? Here's another interesting thing. Okay, so those of you who've been watching some politics in Georgia, it was a hotly contested. There was a number of hotly contested races in Georgia for the Senate. You know, but they have a state representative, I believe he's actually a state senator there,
yep,
by the name of Michael Williams, and he ran for governor of Georgia. Now, here's the interesting part. Was it Georgia that had the governor race that was really close?
No, that was North Carolina.
Georgia was very close. It was the Republican that eventually won, and a Democratic lady who just barely lost.
Abrams.
But anyway, what was happening at this time is there's a heated argument in Georgia about, you know, the wall, what President Trump is doing about the wall and about immigration. And this individual is a Republican named Michael Williams, and he actually got a bus. His bus would look like a bus from like one of those ones where you put
a school bus.
Well, it's not a school. It's a school bus, but it's painted gray, and it looks like
One of those prisoner transfer buses.
A prisoner transfer bus. And he put over there basically, this is the deportation bus, and he really argued that.
And he went across the whole state in that bus, meeting people and trying to, you know, persuade them to vote for him for governor, and he did not make it as governor. In fact, he didn't even get. I think he got like 4.9%. Of the vote.
Yeah, it wasn't a very successful campaign.
No. But what's interesting now is he's being charged with insurance fraud. And it arises out of the what happened and what occurred in one of his campaign offices. He claimed that, well, he claimed that he was told by one of the campaign managers that the $300,000 of their in computer and equipment was stolen. So he called the insurance company and made a claim against that. And now it's being and made a police report, too. And now he's being charged with making a false police report and making a false insurance claim.
Yeah, I don't think that
he's been indicted.
Yeah. However, it's purely allegations again, and he is denying it, and he said he's going to fight it, and he thinks that this is, you know, has something to do with politics. And so, you know, let's see what happens here. He claims he did no wrong, and that this is just a bunch of you know, brought up stuff.
Just remember the great Huey Long, when he was the governor of Louisiana in the 20s, he would always say, often accused, but never convicted.
There you go. Well, here's the interesting thing about it. I wanted to bring this up. I put an asterisk next to when I was reading about this. You know, what happened is a grand jury indicted him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what happens to those of you who don't know, a grand jury hears only the side of the government. Here's the prosecutor, here's their witnesses, and the defense has nothing they can do. They can't say anything, they can't argue anything, they can't cross-examine. And then the grand jury determines whether or not, okay, this is good enough to at least try to prosecute them. Here's the problem with that I worry about in the grand jury. I know we have grand juries all over the United States, but I want to talk about when we come back about the grand jury system that may be an issue in today's society, how it may not quite work as well as it did in the old days. We'll be right back. I'm Fred Penny, your host, Radio Law Talk. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO.
This is Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today and save $10 on the Bug Beam Laser Combo, only at BugAssault.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Radio Long Haul. All around the world. The world. This is RadioLawTalk.com.
Yeah, huh?
Go for it, Cal.
This would not be NWA.
No, not even close, but rhythmical nonetheless.
You know, every state is different, but when they have a grand jury, what they do is the prosecution team will present their case to the grand jury. And the grand jury reviews only the prosecutor's side. The defense has no rights to even go in and argue, cross-examine, do anything. Now, I believe there's some states that allow them to sit in and listen, the counsel, the lawyers for the defense, but they can't do anything.
Here's they have to prove like a prima facie case, which means they have to show enough factual evidence that proves each element of what the charges that they're trying to get the indictment on.
Right. In this case we're talking about in Georgia, that's what happened. The grand jury said there's enough evidence to indict. Now, there's two issues that have come that the grand jury set up originally was, I think, not, and it still may be a good idea, but here's what's happened in today's society. With the instantaneous news, with the phone instant knowledge people nowadays, the young people.
Social media throwing stuff around.
Everything is influenced immediately right now.
Right.
I mean, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everything is immediate. Now you've got a grand jury. Just the name, grand jury, the average Joe Jane citizen, I believe, thinks, oh, the grand jury found them guilty, and there's an indictment, therefore they're guilty. Maybe it's the name grand jury makes it seem like they're guilty already. And again, in the old days where there's just a small little amount of people that knew about it, now it blows up all over the world. And in the court of public opinion, when a grand jury brings down an indictment, to me, generally speaking, it sounds like they're already guilty when the defense has not even been able to bring up their case. What do you guys think?
Well, I agree with that. We were talking a little bit about microaggressions, and microaggressions are things that have really become a common statement in the PC culture, you know, ways that you can refer to people that sort of marginalize them based upon their gender or their race. And I believe that happens in the criminal realm when you refer to a person as a defendant. When you say that they did field sobriety tests and the person flunked the field sobriety tests, well, no, they're field coordination tests and the person isn't coordinated, but by the talking about it, it makes automatically tells the jury that they're not sober. And these are all little things which by themselves you look at and go, that's not a big deal. But collectively, it's huge. And when it comes back from a grand jury and people immediately, well, a jury, they must have heard all the evidence and made a decision. What they don't realize is what you're saying, Fred, is no, they only heard one side. They never heard the other side.
Right. In some states, you don't have to have the grand jury indictment to bring serious charges. But Georgia is one of the states that requires prosecutors to get an indictment before they can charge serious crimes like murder, rape, or kidnapping.
Yeah, what do you think?
And in this case, it's fraud.
855-LAW-RADIO or tweet us at Radio Law Talk if you have a comment about this. But I just think in today's society, how fast things get out there, the court of public opinion, you're guilty the minute the grand jury comes down with an indictment.
Now, I want to point something out here, and that is when the criminal process starts, when you have to show up for your, quote, arraignment and plead either guilty or not guilty, like Kevin Spacey's going to have to do in about a week in Massachusetts, and this person in Georgia's going to have to do when they shows up for the arraignment. You are showing up to plead most of the time not guilty on one of two documents. One's called a complaint, and one is called an indictment. If it's an indictment, it means it came from the grand jury. They reviewed it, and they decided to hand down an indictment. And you're right, Fred. They don't get the other side. They don't get what the defense says. They only hear what the prosecution is putting forward. This is our case, and the grand jury decides to go ahead and issue an indictment. Let's look at a complaint, for example. A complaint, in my opinion, is even more prejudicial in effect to a defendant. For this reason, a complaint is issued because a DA sitting in their office got only the police department's side, got only the investigators' side, decided to type up and author a complaint charging it and filed it with the court, and didn't even do so without at least having a review of peers of the public to say, hey, you know what, you might be all wet on this one.
But good, that's a good argument, but I'm going to counter that by saying at least they can write their opposition to the complaint and put it in where the grand jury, the defense, cannot.
And now I'm going to put one more thing out there. We have a case, Harvey Weinstein, where, in fact, the grand jury indicted him, and his attorneys have been extremely public about the fact that they have not been able to present a defense and that nobody's heard the defense yet, and that defense is going to exonerate him. So even in court of public opinion,
right,
if you have the right attorneys, they're getting out there. They're their defense.
Well, I do want to respectfully correct one thing, and
sure,
that is that unlike a civil case, unlike a civil case where a complaint is filed and then the defense can answer with their response
and counterclaim,
there is no such mechanism in criminal law.
I guess you're right.
So when the complaint is filed by the DA, I mean, think about this: when the complaint is filed by the DA in a criminal case for a felony, the defense really doesn't have a meaningful opportunity to answer the charges until trial.
True.
Even at the preliminary hearing, a defendant's ability to participate and present evidence is severely limited because of the alleged narrow focus of the prelim. So
I stand corrected. You're right.
They get to say not guilty by reason of insanity. They get to say something in response to the complaint, but it's not like
answer. But they don't get to address the individual elements of the crime.
Right.
Cal.
But you see this Weinstein attorney argument that you made, Denise, where the attorney says, well, we didn't have a chance. You know what most people say when they hear a defense attorney say that? That's just lawyer talk. The DA's got him or they wouldn't have indicted him.
See?
I'm telling you, there is a prejudice in the system.
There is.
And I think Fred's point is brilliantly made that there's a prejudice in the system that says if the DA does it and the grand jury signs off on it, there's got to be guilt. The person has to disprove their guilt.
It says jury.
Yeah.
It says grand jury and jury. It's your peers.
Exactly, yeah.
And a lot of people probably don't know. Defense had no defense, by the way. They can't present their defense.
I mean, let's think about, we've talked about microaggressions. Let's think about everything that a criminal defendant is facing when he or she is sitting there at the opening day of trial or even jury selection. Every juror that walks in knows that they are here, that their day is being impacted and everything because of something that person was alleged to have done. So you've already got the impact on their life that they're dealing with. You look up, you see the judge, you see an armed bailiff. Boy, he's got a gun there and handcuffs. This must be pretty serious. You've got a person sitting next to him who jumps up and down, says, objection, objection, gets overruled. You've got a DA who's sitting there. They're being referred to as the defendant. And then the DA gets to stand up and give a brief overview of the case, referring to people as victims, which, oh, by the way, is kind of putting the cart before the horse, because how can you be a victim of something before a person's been convicted of it. And they always forget to say the word alleged.
Right.
And even if they do, I mean, that doesn't really...
Lawyer talk.
That doesn't really do a whole lot. Right. It is pretty stacked against somebody from a microaggression standpoint. A lot of things that they have to fight against. And if the defense files a motion to try to curb the microaggressions, do you know how successful it is? Nada. You don't get any relief. They're going to call him field sobriety tests. They're going to call you a defendant. They're going to refer to him as a victim. That stuff never gets changed in court.
But the nice thing about it is the system isn't perfect, but it's the best out there.
It is.
I agree with that
100%. The people that say, oh, it's a crappy criminal justice system, go ahead, scour the world and show me one that's better.
And not only that, all I'm saying is, I'm not saying the system's bad, the grand jury system's bad. Maybe it should be renamed. The grand semi-jury system or something. Yeah. Well, let's think of the name. We should change the name. Then it doesn't prejudice them thinking it's a jury.
Even the name of the common defense attorneys for defendants, the public defender. You know how many times I've heard people in court say, when they say, well, you want a public defender? No, I want to hire an attorney. You know they are attorneys, right? So DA gets to be called a district attorney, but defenders get public defender.
And when the defense lawyer speaks, it's lawyer talk, blah, blah. But when the prosecutor speaks, people go, oh, that's got credibility.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Hey, we're going to be back in a little bit for hour number three. We're going to talk about the making of a murder. We're going to talk about Summer Redstone's speech impairment. And we're going to talk about a Nevada judge arrested on suspicion of domestic battery. We'll be back for hour three.
This is Radio Law Talk on your favorite radio station and on RadioLawTalk.com.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course, Sunny Bay Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.